States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. Any member of the public may address. You ready now? Yours was off too. Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Board member items for is there any public comment? Seeing none. Board member items for discussion. Start with you, Mary.
Madam President, I'd ask that we add an emergency resolution under state of emergency, and help me if I stumble through this to do it properly by protocol. But I would like to introduce a resolution and have the body recognize it as an emergency, a state of emergency due to the time restraints, and that the funds that are becoming available, the clock is ticking on those.
And why don't we do that right after the fire items?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Avern, any
I think we probably need a motion.
You need a motion. You need a vote to declare that it's an emergency.
Okay.
It should be on the.
I need.
I'll move to add the emergency declaration to the agenda tonight.
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion from the public? Bringing it back to the board. Is this a roll call vote? Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Okay, moving on with board member items for discussion. Vern, none?
No.
Jim?
None today.
How about you, Pamela?
No.
Okay. And I don't have anything. Review and approval of the minutes for March 11th, the regular board member meeting, and March 19th, the 2009 special meeting. Can we do that in one?
Yes.
Okay. Those against? Same sign? No? Okay. It carries 5-0. Moving on to reports. Mr. Zelke won't be here tonight. Therefore, we'll move to administrative assistance report.
Okay. During the month of February, staff processed $255,495 in payments. And we mailed 412 late notices on February 24th. Subsequently, on March 12th, we hung 96 door hangers. And on March 30th, 30 accounts were disconnected for non-payment. As of this afternoon, we still have 6 accounts which are off. Not all of those 6 are occupied. Preliminary work has begun on the 2009 fireworks and weed abatement or fire hazard reduction program. And we prepared one fire committee and one cancellation of a fire committee meeting notices and 2 regular plus several special meeting agendas for the board. Administration began the work on the information for county public works that is required each year for the continuing bond disclosure for state water and the Lopez Dam remediation projects. Numerous documents and statistics, most of which you've heard about previously, both financial and related to utility billing, were assembled and then passed on to the Wallace Group. These are both for the water rate studies for water and sewer, and for the master plans. In addition, we worked with the county and the Wallace Group to put together the claims for the CDBG and the DRI fund reimbursements. The total claims for submitted for $391,451.38. We should have some of the money this coming week. The necessary paperwork was submitted for the annual cathodic protection system. It's an inspection that they do. We don't do it every year, probably every 4 to 5 years. This ensures that we have effective and economical corrosion control on our million-gallon water tank. We process the normal monthly nitrate and selenium program reports for the state and the county, and also submitted the hazardous materials business plan certification forms for the two well sites and the fire station. The LAFCO Sphere of Influence update questionnaire, and this is done every 5 years, was prepared and submitted. And OSA has begun on fiscal year ending June 30, 2008. In addition, we've begun work on the 2009-2010 budget, and we hope to bring Esther with us at the next board meeting to formally introduce her to the board.
Thank you. Any questions from the public? Any questions from the board? Thank you very much, Gina. Phil, the utility operations report.
Okay, there were no blockages reported in the sewer system during the month, and Baker Construction was busy most of the month repairing and or replacing section of the sewer system. In the water department, one new water service was installed during the month, and we replaced one old water service that was found to be leaking and one that was in the way of a new retaining wall. The district drained and cleaned both water storage. District crew drained and cleaned both of the water storage reservoirs during the month of February. They also worked on fire hydrant maintenance, and at customers' requests, we tested two water meters for accuracy. The crew collected weekly and monthly water system samples and assisted with the installation of the housing on the generator down at Well 8. The generator's new Caterpillar engine has been started and operated for a short time, and there are still a few bugs in the process of being corrected. A technician from the Stanley Alarm Company came by several times during the month. He worked on our problems with our alarm system. And we were also visited by an inspector from the Bureau of Automotive Repair to check up on our smog records. And we had a visit by an inspector from the San Luis Obispo County Health Department to check on our hazardous materials handling program. And he did find a violation, and we have since corrected it. Two will serve letters were issued during the month of February. The monthly water report was completed and submitted to the State Health Department. And the district produced 52.83 acre feet of water during the month of February. This amount was calculated as 15.9 acre feet of state project water, 16.3 acre feet of Lopez water, and we pumped 20.7 acre feet of groundwater. The total amount of water produced in February was 3.27% less than was produced in January 2009, and it was 4.3% less than was produced in February a year ago, 2008.
Any questions?
Where we're going.
Okay.
And yeah, things do change, so certainly needs to be updated once in a while.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
What happened with the meter tests? Were they working or not?
Actually, one of the meters was quite slow, and the other one was pretty accurate.
Okay.
They weren't over. They very seldom go over, really.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions from the public? No? Thank you very much, Phil. Mm-hmm. Moving on to 7, fire items. A, the fire hazard abatement program. Kevin?
We've prepared this memo for you. The action before the board is to approve the hazard reduction calendar and schedule a public hearing for protests. They're listed there at the bottom of the memo.
Just so the public can hear, can you say those out loud, please?
Sure. But before we do that, Director Dean, was there anything we needed to add in our discussion here you wanted to inform the board on?
Yes, there was one thing.
I know this was a fire committee subject last night. There was only one committee member showed up, but we had somewhat of an informal meeting, and you were informed of these things. I was just wondering if you had anything that you wanted to inform the board of.
On page 1 of this agenda item, under June 12th, the fire hazard reduction may commence, and it's talking about taking pictures. The contractor will take pictures, photos of each lot before and after, and they had stricken out district personnel, and I thought maybe it would be better when they're out assessing the lots to take a time date picture of what it looked like when they make the assessment, and that way they can say, this is what it looked like on such and such a date. And so they're going to continue that. Mm-hmm. We thought that would be for the best. And the contractor will take pictures just before he abates and just after.
So there'll be three pictures.
There will be three pictures.
Good idea.
Director Lucy has asked me to outline the recommended actions for the board, the four items, and I'm going to do that right now. And then after, I would like Captain Leathers to give the board kind of an overview on how we actually did the weed abatement last year, and that we'll be following the same process this year, just so the board will know, in case there's any comments from the public, his field visit or protests, if there are any, and then direct staff to commence the mailing of notices to affected property owners.
Oh, there's one other thing I should mention. There are some nooks and crannies that property owners forget about in the district, and one of them is on those homeowners that abut the pike, and they have fences there at the pike, and behind the fence is actually their property, and it usually has weeds on it, and they forget that those weeds belong to them, and sometimes they get abatement notices for those weeds. So that would be one area that I'd try to tell everybody to look at and take care of before we commence the assessment for the weed abatement. I don't know. There are others, too, but I just know that that was a problem area from last year.
Captain Leathers, you kind of handle this single-handedly, more or less. Could you sort of explain to the board the process we used last year and what we'll be doing this year?
That's a great process. I love it. That's right, Ryan. What I did last year, obviously, I used the command vehicle, which Kevin said earlier. Instead of using a fire engine driving around, in a big, 20-ton vehicle, I used that, kind of saved on gas. And took me almost a day to do pretty much the whole district. 2 days is kind of where I cut it at, to get some of the other spots that I wasn't able to do. The pike was one of the spots that I did list last year, and I did talk to the homeowners kind of after the fact, so they're kind of aware of what's going on. But I went around the whole district, including Halcyon, and went through, marked on the APN book of what I thought was considered a hazardous abatement that needed to be done. Came back, they sent the letters. Some of the resources I did use, obviously, was Google Earth was a real good one for us this year. I also used the Slo County Assessor's Office. They also have a mapping system, the GIS systems. So I was able to actually pull up that particular APN number and print it off and send it in with the district so the front office could have a picture of that, too. I think that went pretty well last year. I think it was because we could have a sense of exactly what lot I was talking about versus pictures of when I went out to the different lots. And at the time, I was just using my phone on my camera, so it was kind of a pain. So now that we have in our budget this year for some new cameras, we'll be able to do that. I think the process went fairly well. Hopefully, like I said, we'll continue doing the same thing this year, getting the list. I'll go back with my last year's list and kind of compare what I used last, the lots that were kind of a nuisance last year, and definitely earmark those to make a look at and then take a second look at. But that answered some questions.
Any questions? Thank you. Now, where are we?
We need a motion.
Public comment.
Oh, public comment first. Thank you. Seeing none, any board discussion?
One thing that has always been a...
Speak up, please.
One thing that has always hasn't quite set well with me is we send out a notice to everybody in the entire community. And then we have certain lots that we actually abate. And I'm not, you know, are we doing that that way again, or are those people that are going to actually get abated get a separate notice that that they actually are going to be abated?
We used to post each lot with a big red sign. Mm-hmm. The kids rip them off, or the weather, they deteriorate. If there are absentee owners, they wouldn't know about it. So we found that the postcard, naturally it was recommended by legal counsel at the time, was the best way to ensure that all property owners were aware of what was going on, as well as the tenants in the homes themselves. It does state on there all the dates. We put a monthly notice in the newspaper as well to try and remind people. This time, when your water bill comes out, you'll notice there's also a mention of it on there. Gives the time frame. Okay. If you have other suggestions.
No, I just thought that, you know, when you notice that you wouldn't, you know, the people that are actually going to be abated would be, you know, would get a notice that, you know, their place is being abated, as opposed to the communities going through doing an abatement type notice.
Doesn't it say on the notice, if your weeds are not cut, it will be abated? So I think it's better to send it to everybody.
No, I agree that, you know, we need to send something to everybody, but and that's what we do at the beginning of the process. Yeah. Is you know, if your weeds are so high, they're going to be abated. But then we don't really have something that tells somebody your weeds are too high and we're abating them.
No, it just states on there 4 inches.
Yeah. And so so that was all.
Mary?
Is it possible we could just send a notice to the properties that that Captain Leathers has identified and save ourselves some postage? Because I don't know. I don't have any weeds. I mean, I have weeds, but nothing's about this high.
But that's part of the reason that we notify everybody. Because if you just... Barbara was... correct. President Mann was correct in what she was saying, is we go through and do a second round and a third round because people know that they have to keep them down through November 1st. If we miss them on one of those rounds and yet their weeds are a foot high now, we can't do it.
There's got to be a better way than postage.
Well, it's bulk mailing, at least. It's not quite as bad.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, it was a call question.
Okay.
I think with one motion, the board could approve and all four actions.
Yeah, I would move that we approve the hazard reduction calendar, which is attached to this item, that we adopt OCSD Resolution 2009-02, which is a resolution declaring weeds on certain properties to be a public nuisance, that we schedule a public hearing for protests on June 10th, 2009 at 6:30 p.m. in the OCSD boardroom right here, and that we direct staff to commence with mailing of the notices.
Second.
Is this a roll call vote?
Yes, because mm-hmm. It's a resolution.
Okay. Any public comment? Any more discussion from the board? Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you.
Need to do at this point in time to implement the program for 2009 is to contact each of the participating organizations and discover if they still have an interest in participating for this year. If so, we would like to be notified. And we'd also like them to tell us how their profits were used from the 2008 sale to benefit the community and how they're going to use the revenues in 2009 for the betterment of Oceano. And also that we're recommending the board continue to charge a $385 processing fee.
Before we go any further, Ryan, do I have to recuse myself? I am a member of the Kiwanis Club.
There's an economic benefit there, so yes, you should recuse yourself.
Okay.
Vote.
I'll go outside. Jim, you want to take my place?
Okay.
Please.
While President Mann is doing that, Brian, do you know if the Firefighters Association chose to participate this year?
I have no clue. We're still in debate right now.
Being that that's come up, this has not come up before, but the Eagles is in here too, and I think I've paid dues to them, although I've never been to any of their meetings or anything, so should I be stepping out as well?
Are you currently a member?
Probably.
If that's the case, it's probably.
Okay.
My mom's an Eagle.
You have to stay.
Come on.
Okay, well, we still have a quorum for the item, so. What we're proposing to do right now, then, is establish the program basically on similar footing to what was done last year. And then if,
that's correct.
Presumably, if any of the organizations that were participants last year choose not to participate this year, then we would have the go through the process to find other interested.
Yeah, we come back to the board at that point in time if they don't have an interest. So the first step is what's before you tonight, and that is basically direct staff to contact each of the organizations that participated last year, determine their interest, and also that you would establish
to indicate their interest, to tell us how their profits would be used to benefit the community of Oceano last year, and how they would use any revenues from this year. The applications must be received back by the district no later than April 20th, and there is a $385 fee for the fireworks sales.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes unanimously with two recused.
Have a great Ford.
Phil.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we know the outcome?
The motion passed 3-0 with two recused to
approve
the staff recommendation.
Thank you very much. Moving on to utility items.
Yes?
I did. Thank you very much. Barry, you're up.
All right.
That's what that little line here meant.
This would be the first time that I have introduced a resolution to this body. And so if I've jeopardized protocol or anything like that, please let me know, and I'll try to do it properly. I'll try. So I think everybody's feeling the economical pinch right now. People are very, very confused on they hear about these trillion-dollar budget passes, stimulus is being thrown around a lot and stuff, and we don't know if the state's getting all the money or the counties are getting the money. But the reality is that from what I understand, there'll be four pools of money over the next couple of years, and so I would like to see Oceano take lead in our community and do our best to secure stimulus. So this is in our packet, and please correct me if I'm wrong. So the state understands how important it is to declare a state of emergency when these funds become available. it kind of helps you move your cause forward a little bit. Also, too, is due to the excellent leadership of the Sanitation Department, Mr. Walsh has been working very closely with Mr. Wallace, and his packet is in as well for the Sanitation Department, and I cannot thank them enough for working on that. And Kevin, you'll talk about that more, right? So I thought that Oceano should be in there because it's kind of, you know, a lot of things are coming together, and they're going to come together in a really hurtful way. So I'd like this board to declare a state of emergency economic crisis in Oceano. And by declaring that, I'm going to read you what I wrote. For the grounds to hire a firm, experts to track, apply, and prepare the applications so they get in the right hands of the people who hold the purse strings, and that we are shovel ready to go. So so what do I do? Do I start it as a motion? Do I read it? How would you like to move forward, President Mann?
I need some help here from legal counsel.
I would suggest that you read it right now.
Okay.
Use your microphone, please.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I would suggest that we do a reading of it so that everyone knows what's going on. I just recently received this, so.
Thank you.
Okay, so the title is a resolution of the Oceano Community Services District declaring a state of economic emergency in the boundaries of Oceano in the county of San Luis Obispo in the state of California. Whereas Oceano is considered a low to moderate income neighborhood in the unincorporated area of San Luis Obispo County, whereas Oceano is home to diverse populations of retired, disabled, and minimum wage working class residents, whereas Oceano is home to generations of agricultural workers in the surrounding fields, whereas Oceano has increased single-family dwellings where multiple families reside, and some homes up to five families in one home, to generate revenue to sustain local services, whereas Oceano has a near majority of the foreclosures in the unincorporated areas of the county, whereas Oceano has experienced a drastic decrease in local small businesses contributing to the deteriorating economic situation and a gloomy future forecast. Whereas Oceano has 6.69% ownership and upkeep in the Zone 3 Lopez Dam project to secure waters for the residents. Whereas Oceano residents are faced with a fast and impending Proposition 218 increase in fees for local services. Whereas Oceano will be faced with debts into the several millions to maintain upgrades at the Lopez Dam project above and beyond the water rate increases already in motion. Whereas countless Oceano residents may be faced with no choice but to have their services turned off. Whereas the American Recovery, help me, Relief Act stimulus, aka monies, included but not limited to general purpose fiscal stabilization. There is a category to stabilize small towns. Monies are available to communities such as ours. Oceano is where is not fiscally able to maintain existing infrastructure for a significant or reasonable length of time and may be at risk of not being able to provide vital services in the not so distant future. Whereas Oceano is positioned to approach this dire situation with a sense of urgency to avoid potential unfortunate consequences. Whereas Oceano recognizes there are strict time limits, 120 days to apply for such funds, ARRA. Now, therefore, be it declared and determined by the District Board of Directors, Oceano Community Services District, San Luis Obispo County, California, that deteriorating economic situations and potential financial disaster affecting OCSD and the residents of Oceano is rapidly impending, thus a state of economic emergency be...
Is there any public comment? How about board discussion? Who would like to start?
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot. And can we? I mean, what is the outcome if we declare an emergency of this,
well,
of this kind? And can we do this?
I'm going to give a pretty unpopular answer, I think. You know, if the community services district itself, not the residents, were in a financial crisis where monies were necessary to come in, I see no problem with passing this resolution, going about, you know, at least start the bidding process for some grant writers to get money for the district. The way as I read it right now, though, this is aimed at getting general funds for the district,
well,
including the residents, which, you know, we talked about this several months ago, it's longer than that, on the homeless shelter. This just isn't within the district's jurisdiction. An economic crisis for the residents of Oceano, no doubt, is a huge concern for this board, but...
There are some things that specifically relate to the district that are cited in the resolution.
And yeah, there are a couple of recitals I found.
One of which is the Lopez Dam project. Just to review that very briefly, the water treatment plant there at Lopez Dam, I believe the original cost estimate for that plant upgrade was $5 million, and we're up around between $25 and $30 million, and now they're talking about additional redesign and putting fences and things around it, all of which would come back to our residents as pass-through cost, and that would create a significant economic hardship on the district and the district's residents. So there's a number of things, I think, in here that do directly relate to the district in maintaining our infrastructure without burdening the residents as much as we possibly can, given that the ARRA funds do appear to be available. So I would be able to support this, certainly as far as the matters that relate directly to the district.
Agency, if the board decides that does constitute a state of emergency.
So
I as written, I don't think that it would be wise for the board to pass this. I think it could be cleaned up significantly, including direction in finding bidding out for a grant writer to get funds for specific purposes that would come to the district and ultimately the residents, of course, would benefit.
So which three did you, I know you said, or Jim talked about the Lopez Dam,
mm-hmm.
So that's one.
And then that's the third to bottom one, certainly.
Not fiscally able to maintain existing infrastructure?
Correct.
That's the other one. Was there another one?
The Prop 218 fee increase.
Where is that? Above, yeah.
And what about the loss of fees? Because we don't have any will serve letters because nobody's doing any more development. So that money keeps the district going. So would that not be a direct impact on the district?
It is, because our budget includes monies that we projected due to building permits and front footage fees and things like that we're not receiving. And in fact, the sanitation district has noticed that because the sanitation district budget includes similar types of impact fees that are due to the fact that there's no building going on in Oceano or in the neighboring cities, that the sanitation district has had a significant amount of budgeted income that's not going to be realized.
And the 25 plus foreclosures in the area, that we no longer, we've lost out on the fees because they probably didn't pay the bills when they were closing on their home. Does that impact the district fiscally?
That we would be stretching.
Stretching
to...
We don't provide water to those residents.
Yeah, but housing.
That we have to provide
so
fire.
So one, two, three, four.
So we're not selling anything to those empty properties.
But housing is not within.
But we get fees. We sell water and sewer that goes, which contribute to our other departments. So.
Well, I guess I would answer that with the question is, how would going after these funds remedy foreclosure?
10,000 water connections at its peak, 3,000 of those have been shut off due to foreclosures. Now, that would be a significant effect on a community to lose one-third of your water and sewer accounts because so much of water and sewer expenses are fixed and not variable. So you have expenses whether a house is using the service or not. Is it that extreme in Oceano? I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I think it goes to the matter of degree and,
sure,
and nexus. But okay, there certainly could be a nexus.
And ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, it is just a recital. So,
right.
Look, I'm not opposed to edits.
Okay, and that's what I would suggest that.
And I'm not opposed, and I said from the beginning, that's why we have the draft word up there.
Sure.
It's a draft. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to renaming it. What I'm opposed to is being on the late freight. That's what I'm opposed to.
Right.
I'm opposed to being locked out because legal counsel didn't like the verbiage or didn't say, we'll rewrite it and get it out there because we're on the clock here.
Sure.
You know, I live in this town. So do the other 7,200 people. And quite frankly, we'd like to stay here. So I don't care... slash, cut, and burn, whatever makes you feel good. But I think that we are not smart if we do not at least take a leadership role in applying for this money on a local level.
Mary, there's four areas here that we talked about.
Yep, three. I have
four.
Zone 3, 218, and the infrastructure.
Okay, I'm looking halfway in the page. Oceano's experienced a drastic decrease in local residential development. That was one.
Yeah, which is all sitting there empty.
Because we're not getting any fees there.
Oceano
residents are faced with the 218. That's two. Three was the dam.
Right.
And four was not fiscally able to maintain existing infrastructures.
Correct.
So that's the four.
Yes.
Could we do those four, call it a state of emergency, and then move on from there?
Yeah, I think so. The resolution itself, you know, I...
Rewrite it.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said as proposed. I don't think you can pass this. So
these whereas's were justification for an economic crisis that is happening here. That's all they are. This is a description of our town through a lot of people's eyes. So,
how long
however you have to write it, I'm fine with that.
How long would it take for it to get back to us?
When do you want it back?
10 minutes.
Not 10 minutes. It'll be a little longer than that. If you want to.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I noticed that the now therefore on the second page.
Yeah.
Says that we're declaring the emergency in order to promptly secure dedicated grant what writer specialists. So I have a question for our legal counsel. Since the board has placed this on the agenda under a kind of an emergency situation, would it be possible for the board to take action at this meeting that would get us to a place where we're working on promptly securing a dedicated grant writer specialist, as the wording says there, without a resolution that they could do that tonight by motion, direct staff to begin that work?
I think they can do kind of an oral edit of this when it's brought up, whoever makes the motion.
What I'm suggesting...
Kevin, I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
And I think that's a great idea. Like I said, I don't have any ownership over writings, resolutions, whatever. I don't care about that stuff. What I care about is getting the money. So if you're saying that somebody makes a motion to solicit three competitive bids for grant writers with proven track records to secure any federal, state, or local funding available, then you know...
You're happy?
I'm thrilled.
Yes, that's what I asked legal counsel, if the board was able to do that tonight.
It's on the agenda, rightfully so.
It's just so long as that's, you know, we have somebody on it.
And if I was so directed, I could begin on that tomorrow and would.
So we're looking for a motion in those words.
I move that we solicit three competitive bids for dedicated grant writers specializing with track records in securing government, federal, state, and local funds.
Second for discussion.
I'll second, and also could we adopt the portions of the resolution that directly relate to the district as were discussed earlier and possibly consider the rest as maybe an advisory resolution?
If you want, I would think if you want a resolution to go along with this, then just get it rewritten and bring it back for the next meeting so it's the way you want it, if that's what you want. No, we're still going after after the grant writers. The bottom line of what you want is to start tomorrow on trying to get grant writers. That would still happen. And you can, if you want a resolution of a state of emergency to go with it, then, you know, get it written up the way that legal counsel feels that it needs to come to us properly, and bring it back to the next meeting.
There's still a motion on the floor, but I have a question for legal counsel. Can we just direct staff to go after the dedicated grant writer specialists, you know, the things that Mary wants them to go ahead and do and start on, then come back to do the resolution in 2 weeks?
I think that's probably the way.
Is that all right with you, Mary?
Well, you know,
do you want a resolution to tell him to do it?
No, I think that the clock is ticking, and you're not going to get as much attention if you don't declare a state of emergency. You're going to go get thrown right up on the pile with the rest of the single slices of paper that went in.
When you're looking for a grant writer?
I think that a state of emergency needs to be declared.
When you're looking for the grant.
And you could do it under these four items is fine. These are economic disasters in our area. I mean, you can argue with me all you want, but these four things right here will harm the people of Oceano. They can't.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying if
that a disaster?
No, if we haven't done the resolution on that, will it stop us from obtaining a good grant writer?
I think it'll stop us from. It won't help us to
get
money. It won't help us to
get a grant
grant
writer.
We're uniformed. Okay. We're ready to roll. We have plans. We're not pulling.
With the whereases that directly relate to district business and possibly the others is just advisory.
If someone wants to orally introduce the resolution for the state of emergency, based on those four recitals, I think that's a way to do it. The advisory. I would suggest that we come back in 2 weeks with the advisory, mm-hmm. with
okay.
the whole idea that the state of emergency has been declared. Grant writers are being sought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, point of order. We had a motion and a second, so we want to do with those to change the motion, correctly? Correct?
Yes.
Or do we amend the motion? I'm not good at this.
Go for a vote on that motion, and then you can introduce a new motion afterwards.
You, for example, vote down the current motion on the table, and then
yeah, all right.
Well, you can even pass it too, and still bring
and
it.
Still
in
do it.
Yeah.
Have we had public comment on them?
Public comment? Any public comment on this? Good. Come on.
Lynn Hill, Oceano, and I commend you, Mary, for trying to do something for the town. It's really good. It's nice. We need it. And then a question that's probably going to be not real bright, but the fire department, we're talking about that the engine is getting old, and, I mean, we have problems. We have to pay overtime. Can that be worked into this, or is that not a state of emergency, too? Is there money there that could help with that? Has that been thought about?
Well, we are thinking that in the stimulus bill, the Americans, and you need to help me out now, Mary, what American Relief and Recovery Act, we had understood there was some money in there for fire department equipment or personnel or something like that. How it's defined and whether we're correct in our understanding, I don't know. But the bill is long. It's complex. People are just now beginning to understand it. So,
or maybe have it a separate one.
Maybe. Maybe we can find that out.
If you're getting an experienced grant writer, they will probably be able to give you some good insight on how to appropriately apply for that money.
Right.
Did it have to be in there for the fire department too?
Well, in this resolution?
Or is it in this?
Well, the resolution right now is a state of emergency with direction to staff to begin finding.
Over there.
No, but I'm sure Kevin does.
Or Kevin, one of you who has a motion, could you read it to us?
I believe that the essence of the motion is contained starting about the middle of page 2 of the resolution you have before you. It's to direct staff to promptly secure a dedicated grant writer specialist with proven track record of securing government-generated funds to seek stimulus, American Relief and Recovery Act monies to acquire immediate relief and fiscal stabilization for the Oceano Community Services District.
No, that was what had been seconded, correct?
Yes that's
so
yes,
we can we can either, if I'm understanding right, I'm asking for direct, we can vote yes on that and then come back right now and do these ones with the four whereases, or we can defeat this and come back with the four and add this.
And my suggestion would be to do the latter, to defeat this and then come back and recite it as.
We're coming back right now, Mary. We will come back, right? We'll defeat the first motion, and then you reintroduce the motion with a fair as, the whereases, and your motion again.
Okay.
The one question here. There were other things that are economic problems in the district, like the fire, that was stated. That you want to add those in at that point too, then?
No.
Okay.
Because look, we collaborate. There's a three fire department collaboration going on. I would never do that without Chief Hubert. I don't know what applications he's put in. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, I'm going to report on the fire committee meeting from last night, and John Bova came to talk to us about the grant he's working on for a Type 1 vehicle. So we're already working on something.
Yeah, see, then it would, you know, just like us applying for, like, the creek. I mean, the Corps takes care of the creek. We don't want to stumble. We want to partner.
And we already have a universal pre-app that Kevin put in for the California Department of Public Health drinking water program. So we're working on two fronts already. So I'm for trying everything.
I'll make a new motion.
Okay, I just withdraw the motion.
Who brought the?
Mary made the motion.
I withdraw the motion.
And I would withdraw the second then.
Okay. Now start over.
Can I make the motion then?
Sure.
I would move that we declare a state of economic emergency Whereas Oceana's experienced a drastic decrease in local residential development, which has directly impacted our revenues for things such as front footage fees and development fees. Whereas Oceano has a 6.69% ownership and upkeep in the Lopez Dam project to secure water for our residents. Whereas Oceano residents are faced with a fast and impending Prop 218 increase in fees for services. Whereas Oceano will be faced with debts into the several millions to maintain upgrades at the Lopez Dam project above and beyond the water rate increases already in motion. Whereas Oceana is not fiscally able to maintain existing infrastructure for a significant or reasonable length of time and may be at risk of not being able to provide vital services in the not-too-distant future. Therefore, be it declared and determined by the District Board of Directors of Oceana Community Services District that a financial disaster affecting the district and the residents of Oceana is rapidly impending, thus a state of economic emergency is declared. And that in response to that declaration of emergency, we would promptly secure dedicated grant writer specialists through the bid process to secure stimulus monies such as might be available from federal, state, and local available sources of funds to abate the disaster that's facing our community.
Second.
Public comment. Bring it back to the board for discussion.
Is there any downside to doing this?
I don't think so, because I'm guessing that any grant writer you're going to find is going to take it on a contingency. So I'm assuming. So I don't think you're going to be out of pocket any money from the beginning. I don't see a downside to trying to get some free money.
Okay, or a downside to declaring an emergency.
Everybody's input in helping to get this through. And
thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for your hard work on that, Mayor.
We really appreciate it.
Hopefully we're here next year.
Please? What was that?
I said hopefully we're here next year.
Okay, moving on to utility items, cleaning and inspection of district and water lines. Public Contract Code Section 22050C1 requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, to determine by 4/5 vote that there is need to continue the action.
And that emergency, just to clarify, was the San Simeon earthquake and
correct.
The related damage to the sewer and water
which
infrastructure.
Which is what, in 2003?
2003, that's
yeah.
Correct.
And we're still working on it. Any public comment? Any discussion? Roll call, please. Make your motion then. Make your motion, Jim. Pamela can't talk.
Hopefully on behalf of Director Dean, then I would move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Okay. Now I believe we're on the DRI funded sewer replacement rehabilitation project potential change order. Kevin?
Yes, this item is in with regard to the item you just took up, a result of the San Simeon earthquake and the work that's being done on our sewer project. You had been given an initial amount of community development block grant funds for that work. It was not sufficient to do all the work that was outlined to be done, so you bid that contract in two phases. And one of the phases was to be authorized later should additional funds of the damaged sewer, and the contract for the work on that damaged sewer is now given to Baker Construction. So the first step in obtaining these Disaster Recovery Initiative funds was for the Board of Supervisors to take action, making the reallocation. The next two steps are for the county to amend its contract with the California Housing and Community Development, and then to amend their contract with the Federal Housing and Urban Development, HUD, Department of Housing and Urban Development. And after that, the county will amend its contract with us to allow the use of those funds. And at that time, this board will need to approve a change order. Now, we are optimistic that this will not be a protracted process. And, you know, as a side note, maybe we shouldn't be so optimistic. But anyway, we remain optimistic. This will not be a protracted process. And these contract approvals will happen fairly quickly. So I wanted to tell the board about this and let you have advance notice and warning, because at the next meeting, I'd like to bring the change order authorizing Baker Construction to do this work. Now, I do not expect to have the county approved contract changes with the state or the federal or with us by that time, but if our optimism remains strong, then those could happen fairly shortly, and I'd like to have the board already be prepared to send Baker on their way to do the work. So the change order would probably, you know, it'll outline the costs and the work to be done and time schedule and all that, and then it would probably be contingent upon the district getting an offer from the county to amend its contract. I just want to be poised. It won't commit you to expending any money until we're sure we're receiving any money. I just want to make sure that we're ready to go quickly. As you discussed tonight, and kind of behind the discussion was, on some of this money, nowadays with grants and loans, there seems to be a shorter fuse, a shorter time fuse than there has been in the past. And item you wanted to get ready.
And the amount of that money was $440,000?
Right. And we're thinking that money is going to recover all the soft costs. Right now the district is out of pocket for the engineering design, mm-hmm. some of the environmental work. Mm-hmm. We're thinking, and Wallace Group is collecting this information right now, but we're thinking that it may be enough to recover those design costs and some of that environmental work that you had to expend to get this money, as well as complete the project in its entirety. But we don't know. We're going to find that out. We'll hopefully have something to bring back to you the next meeting. Director Lucy, did you have a question for me?
Yeah, just help me here a little bit. So this is basically community development block grant money under the DRA funding category that's being redirected to Oceano?
It's actually different money than CBDG funds. Apparently, there was some bill in the state legislature that had a name similar to Disaster Recovery Initiative, or maybe that was the name of the bill. Mm-hmm. And this money was available to help victims of the San Simeon earthquake.
And so then it has here on background, unless I'm looking at the wrong paper, it says sewer project potential change order starts off with regards to CDBG
true.
District was awarded the Oceano Sewer Repair and Replacement Project. Mm-hmm. So, but you just told me it wasn't.
We didn't have enough money from the CDBG, and now mm-hmm. there's some money left from the District Recovery Initiative that the Board of Supervisors said you can have because nobody else could spend it. It was just going to go back to the feds, I guess.
Yeah, I understand they use it or use it.
And I see my confusion there.
But what I'm trying to figure out is this block grant money?
No.
No.
From services, or is this redirect money, or it's just unused RD, I mean, DRI
money? It's unused DRI money, unrelated to CBDG. And I apologize for the confusion. I see your point now.
Page two of the staff report talks about it.
Yeah, but it
has but I'm saying on the same in there.
So this was just a status report, no action required from the board?
And particularly on redirected funds. It's short.
Well, if you wanted to take an action and demonstrate your willingness to accept this and eagerness to have it actually, I would suggest you direct staff to prepare a change order to be brought back to you at the next meeting with more information, if available, on these funds and the progress the county's making to obtain them on our behalf.
Can we do that just by kind of a consensus of the board?
Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Certainly.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank the Board of Supervisors for their efforts on this, and Tony Navarro also, who's worked very hard on this to get this to come to pass. We
much
appreciate it.
Tony worked really hard. He's working hard to get us reimbursed from the CBDG funds too, and Morgan Terrell, I would single them out for commendation. And President Mann was at the Board of Supervisors meeting. It was a unanimous vote, and all five were very supportive of this action.
EOC was supportive too, and they were the ones that basically lost the money, but they couldn't spend it, so they were supportive of us getting it.
Right.
We very much appreciate all their efforts.
Efforts, yes.
And Wallace Group helped too. We had Barbara, I forget, Sean, was it?
I believe his name is Sean.
Yeah.
Wallace Group. Administrative items, the South County Transit Plan grant application.
This letter came across my desk, and while it's not really a OCSD area of jurisdiction, I thought of enough interest and intergovernmental cooperation and community interest, because with no city government here, as you well know, we tend to be a focal point for all things community, whether or not we have jurisdiction or not. So I thought it would be something good to run by the board and suggest that you do indeed authorize your board president to send a letter to the regional transit authority, or it's the Council of Governments, I'm sorry, SLOCOG, their little acronym there. They want to obtain a grant on behalf of the regional transit authority. And, you know, there's some unique transportation barriers that we face here on the South Coast, and we do need in our community reliable intra and inter-county transportation, meaning within the county and going beyond the county.
I just didn't want to send a letter without the board approving it.
Well, I would certainly move that we authorize the president to send the letter that is presented here.
Second then.
Thank you. Comments from the community or from the public? Seeing none, board discussion? Any discussion from the board? If not, call them. Is this a voice vote?
Yes, roll call.
Roll call?
I mean, voice vote. I'm sorry, I got confused. Yes, voice vote. Yeah.
You're really confusing me tonight.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Hearing none, it carries 5-0.
It's not even that late.
Okay. Report of the district representatives. I'll start off. I did not attend the fire committee meeting, so Pamela will talk about that. Jim went to the Sand District. He'll talk about that. On Friday, I went to the CSDA chapter meeting that was held at John Wallace's office, and some interesting items came out of that. One thing that they brought up was talking about if we had benefits after our folks retired, that you had to start putting away the money for that And we don't have any of those, so I was check that out so we don't have to start funding things for after the retirement of our staff. Just talked about a number of other things. Since it was upstairs, I was on the phone downstairs in the conference room. Kevin might have a little bit more to add about the meeting.
Well, we received updates of what some of the other communities are doing on, for example, this stimulus package. The other community services districts are well aware of this money, and they're moving to do what they can. Some of them have what, you know, using the term of art of the day, term of art du jour, maybe we would say, the shovel-ready term. Some of them have shovel-ready projects and are going to go after that. So that was something, too. And then there was just a general
So I thought it was a good afternoon. I thought it was better than, a little better than in the past. So I enjoyed that. And then Tuesday, March 17th, my favorite day of the year, I went to the Board of Supervisors where we did receive the funds, or they said that we will receive the funds that will allow us to complete the five sections of the damage from the earthquake. So to me, it was a fairly good week. I think we attained a lot. Jim?
I did attend the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on March 18th. It was a relatively short meeting. The one item of note is the digester number two repairs are all complete. They were doing a pressure test, final pressure test after the repairs, because there was quite a bit of welding and complete refurbishment of the vessel. So that work is basically done, and I, though I've been out of town for the last few days, I presume that the vessel is back in service. We also approved a resolution of commendation for one of the operators of the plant who achieved some additional operator certifications. And some of the discussion among the board members indicated quite a bit of concern with the apparent increases in costs that are kind of looming on the horizon with Zone 3. It seems that everyone was very concerned with those potential cost increases from the water treatment plant and Lopez Dam. So that is pretty much the Sand District meeting.
Okay. Vern?
Yes, I attended the Zone 11A on March 17th, and they're sticking to the schedule that they had earlier for all the different works and studies and so that have to be done, so they're on schedule. They've got two of the swing gates up, two more to put up. One location was changed a little bit. That was part of the off the OHB funds that they received. I also attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting on March 18th, and although there was, they haven't had a meeting for several months now, it was has not been determined yet. And then I also, on March 16th, I attended the Oceano Advisory Council, and we did not have any new projects at that meeting, so we just talked about some of the internal things that we've been dealing with. And that's it.
Pamela?
Okay, I'm going to try and squeak by here. I did attend the CSDA along with Barbara and Mary on Saturday afternoon. And you always glean little extra bits even after you've been through it once. And so it was very well done. They were very upfront with their comments. And we at the breakout sessions, I will bring, the list reproduced, because I went to the one about San Luis Obispo County and working with the county to acquire additional grant funds. Fancy that. We're all working toward the same thing.
So they gave us a list of names and a quick rundown, and maybe this would be helpful to any grant writer we had, along with our ledge analyst note here. So that was on Saturday. On Tuesday night, that was last night, we had an informal fire committee meeting because of the time-sensitive kinds of things on there, and that was the weed abatement and the fireworks sales. The other thing that was really time-sensitive was presented by Captain Boba, and that's the AFG application for a grant for a Type 1 fire engine. He's working on it now. He's working on writing it now. He's looked into the estimate for cost, and the best guess is $471,000. He's not sure what we would have to pay, but he's going to tell the federal people that, you know, here we have $75,000 in reserves for a fire engine. We haven't thought that we could even apply for a fire engine with what we have in reserves, but we're going to throw ourselves on their mercy and say, this is what we have, and we'd like you to look at our application and see if we if we qualify. Well, this replaced a 22-year-old engine. Essentially, the one that they're using now is 13-year-old, and that would be put into reserves. So that's what they're going to try to do. Captain Bova wanted to let everybody know that this is coming up because we're talking about approval for his application for the grant the first week in April. So I wanted to give everybody a heads up, this is what's coming, and just so you could know that this is, we're gonna try all avenues. And I'm sure he's had experience doing this, and he's working through it right now.
Because I know originally we had talked about we couldn't apply for one because we didn't have the money, and we didn't want to be in the position we were before that, well, if you turn down a grant after they've given it to you, that would not work out. And that was when I thought Mr. Matthews seemed to think that when we looked at the criteria for applying to things, that we would fall under that 5% match.
We can't be sure. It's okay. Something that we can't be sure of. So it is something where you throw yourself on their mercy and say, this is what we've got. We are, you know, we're in need of a Type 1 engine, and we don't have anything else to do it with right now. And we're in dire shape all the way around. So I don't know. Maybe Captain Leathers has additional input on that. So that was the big thing at the fire committee meeting. And then another big thing is the Zone 3 meeting. And I left this till last because it's not the best stuff either. And that was Thursday, March 19th. So I'll go through and tell you what we talked about as briefly as possible. We had a Lopez Recreation Status Report. The use of the lake is down 12%. They're thinking that tourism is suffering, but reservations for summer are strong, and it looks like it's picking up for their summer use. They have a new protocol for checking the boats that are asking for access to the lake. And that new protocol, actually, I guess we're, Fish and Game is very happy with what we're doing, and we are like the leaders on the boats. If you can get into them, they can decontaminate them. The other problem areas are San Antonio and Nacimiento, and Monterey County has not instituted a quagga mussel inspection. So now the property owners in those lakes are becoming worried, and they may be the point for this to begin, something to begin happening there. So we're hoping that will work because the Nacimiento project is coming online, and the quagga mussels
would be a terrible disaster to happen with this, with our new pipeline.
Could I ask you a question about the mussels real quick?
Sure.
Is that taking additional staff time, or is that additional inspection? Because I know Shoemash just increased their launch fees by $28 strictly to deal with that mussel, the mussel from hell.
They're doing it with their staff that's there right now, and I'm sure it is taking additional staff time. Yeah, I'm not sure how the county runs it. Is the county runs the county parks department runs the lake, so I'm sure they're. I'm not sure what the fees are. They didn't tell me that. I could find out.
Director Dean, yeah. I'm not sure, but I would like to mention that in the Zone 3 budget, there's $50,000 that the member units or the participants in the Lopez project will be picking up for the quagga mussel program.
Oh, because we use the water.
Yeah.
So, more money.
We'll be paying a percentage of that.
6.69%.
Yes, it's a discussion wherever these lakes occur that have recreation and water, other water uses like us for water supply. You know, the mussels are introduced through the boating community. And so one side of the argument is, well, they should be the ones to pay. The other side of the argument is, well, you're using the water, so you know it's the problem for you, not for us boaters. And it's not been entirely resolved to everybody's satisfaction. Hopefully we all realize the problem is so large we cannot afford to be jointly defeated by this tremendous foe. And I don't exaggerate when I say it's a tremendous foe.
I did get the budget the evening of the meeting, which was not the best time. But we'll talk about that briefly. The operation reports the lake level is at 60.7%. It's fallen about three tenths of a percent since the last 2 months ago. Rainfall is at 11.98 inches, which is not normal even. And they are processing 3.75 million gallons a day in Lopez water and 0.85 million gallons a day in state water. Let's see what it is. They have been working on the plant operation, and they've been doing the final go-through and check on what goes on in the plant. One of the things that they've had to do is cover the DAF, which is the which floats contaminants to the surface. They've had to cover that with a building. And they've also extended a canopy over the chlorine dioxide system. They're finding that their stainless steel header pipes have pinholes in them. And this is from microbial-induced corrosion. So they're going to replace those with polyethylene HDPE piping. And they have concerns about other piping. The filtering system is producing more waste than they can get rid of, so they're talking that they need, we talked about this before, an additional two sludge pits to process the waste from the plant. So they're looking at that. They're softening the water that is used in cleaning those pol membranes, and they are going to get a report in a couple of weeks about how those pol membranes performed. They didn't have a report when we met. They're saying that all of this it's labor-intensive. The SCADA system is very temperamental, and they are still running, I think, 12 hours a day of employees there watching the system. There's about $100,000 that they wanted to charge Oceano this coming year for capital improvement projects. those capital improvement projects, we're all saying maybe they can be delayed or you can do parts of them, and maybe you can give us a little break this year so we won't have to come up with that. So that's one thing that they will be looking at. They'll have a subcommittee looking at that to see what capital improvement projects really need to be done and if we can delay some of those. So we will not have to institute a rate hike based on this capital improvement project, additional $100,000.
Did you get them to agree to that?
Everybody is in agreement. Everybody on the board that evening.
Except the county?
The county's willing to do it, too.
Oh, good.
I mean, they're willing to look at this since everybody's saying, oh, we're all in bad shape and we can't do this year. Please help us out. They're willing to do that, and they're going to help us out. The thing that happened last year, the state revolving fund for the water treatment plant loan was extended 1 year, so we don't have payback on that loan until next year, but next year it's going to hit, and there's no getting around that. And so for that portion, it's a $1.8 million annually payback of that funds, principal and interest, of which we pay our 6.69%, in addition to the Lopez Dam and all the improvements there. So we have something coming online in the next budget year, and we better get prepared for it. And I'm sorry to say that there's no way around any of that. But they are looking at the specific capital projects that they feel need to be done and what can be delayed and wait till next year or even longer. So all of us were quite concerned. There were several of us who had not received our budgets until that meeting. Nothing happened. We're just taking it under advisement, and nothing has happened. And I just wanted to let you know that everybody is on the same page as we are. Everybody's hurting, and we just don't want to...
Well, the quagga mussel is a small organism, probably the size of one of your fingernails. It's a striped cousin of the zebra mussel, which is a little bit larger, not much, so-called zebra mussel because it looks like a zebra. And the quagga was an extinct animal like the zebra with slightly less striping on it. That's how it got its name. It's native to the Ural Sea area in Eurasia and the Ukraine. And we believe it came over here when the Cold War was not so cold anymore and there was more free trade, and it was first introduced into the Mississippi River system. It's a quite prolific breeder. There are no natural predators in our nation for this thing, and so it tends to accumulate massively on all types of structures. I'm sure many people here, especially in the coastal county we live in, have visited the piers at Pismo or Avila or San Simeon, at least, and have seen that low tide, the mussels hanging on the piers. Those mussels, of course, are a lot larger than the quagga mussels. But these mussels grow in even greater mass, significantly quantities greater than you would observe on those piers or around harbors, such that they clog intake lines, pipelines delivering water. When you come to harbors and watercraft like that, they can actually sink some of the floating docks and things like that. They're just prolific and tend to clog up. They also cause some environmental changes that are quite unsatisfactory to the natural ecosystems we have here. But our main costs and our main fear of incurring these costs would be from the abatement and removal of these things on a periodic basis. In the Great Lakes region, they've learned to live with them. They have divers that go down and clean their underwater systems. They've spent significant sums of money maintaining their systems so they can supply water at the flows and rates that they need to satisfy customer demand.
They do not survive. But the larger ones in ballast tanks, I'm told, they can survive in for, you know, 30 days, something like that. It's a long time.
I think there was a story on the news either yesterday or the day before about them, an in-depth story that showed them what they looked like and things.
I think they were talking about infrastructures have to be replaced quite a bit more frequently.
Once they build up like almost like a cement inside the pipe.
Inside the pipe.
It's virtually impossible to remove.
You have screens that are on intake structures, like in lakes, like our Lopez. That provides an ideal habitat for them to grow and then totally block the screen. They do get inside pipes and grow inside of there. The treatment process probably removes them, but until the end of the treatment process, when their larva in the larva stage is removed, they could cause problems in the treatment plant as well.
Thank you for giving a
You're welcome.
Great report on that.
I say all boats out of the water now.
Okay, Mary?
I also spent my Saturday at that training for SDI directors and SDA chapter training. And also we've started a meeting with the personnel committee. We have a scheduled personnel committee for Monday, 6:30.
6:30 p.m. here.
Here at the district. So we're going to start looking at some of the personnel policies and procedures. And it'll be posted on the front administrative window.
I thought the SDI training was when you went to San Francisco. They just had a wrong date there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
SDI standing for Special Districts Institute. There was an orientation for new directors that's been found in the past to be very helpful.
Yes, I did go to the training in San Francisco, and I thought it was an excellently presented training. I've been to a lot of trainings before. I thought legislatively they were on their mark. I enjoyed meeting other directors around around the state, not just directors, but city council members and stuff like that. You know, hotel's a hotel, so I won't speak on that. But I thought it was good, and they gave good current information to bring home, and I was actually able to buy a couple books there while I was there. So,
any questions?
I'd just like to comment on Pamela's report. Thank you very much for the comprehensive report on Zone 3, and I appreciate your staying on top of that, because that could be a black hole of money, and appreciate your fighting the good battle there to keep the thing under control. Also wanted to thank the fire department for being proactive, Captain Bovo, our entire fire department, and Chief Hubert for being proactive in terms of finding funding and being at the top of their game. Appreciate all your efforts.
Okay, that brings us to general manager's items for discussion. The general manager's recruitment, where are we?
Yes, correct. With regard to the general manager recruitment, you are moving closer to making a final decision. You had a closed session. You're still handling much of this work in closed session, so I don't want to breach any confidentialities there. The background checks were discussed by your board, and we're proceeding in accordance with your direction. You felt you were getting close enough to a final decision that you wanted to begin work on a contract or agreement with the new general manager. And you reviewed a draft and made comments to our legal counsel, and I have distributed to you that revised draft, which I will use unless the board directs otherwise. And I think other topics we're still handling and under the closed session, and rightfully so. The audit report, the auditor has submitted a draft of the audit. I am reviewing that, and our office people, Gina and Cindy, no, I say office people, I say Gina and Cindy, Ms. Davis and Ms. Winter are also reviewing that draft, and we will hopefully get our comments back to the auditor at the end of this week, and remain
needed, and that we'd have the draft within a week or two, and it seems like it's taken additional field work and taken longer on the draft, so
that
continues to kind of be disappointing.
He said he'd have the draft to us next week when he was here.
Mm-hmm. And so that was a week ago.
Because I wrote it down.
Yeah, right. So it would have been a week ago that we would have had it.
And this field work, was that on the same year?
Tested transaction.
For the same year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just a general question on the audit. Do we plan to have a management discussion and analysis on this audit, and hopefully certainly on the next one, and I would absolutely expect to see one on the current year's audit?
Are you talking about the management discussion and analysis, which would be prepared by the Oceano Community Services District?
Correct.
No, we won't be providing that.
On this
we're trying to play catch up here. But I agree with you that it should be on the next one. There will be a management letter from the auditor that we will have.
Right. We'll insist on that, of course.
Yes. You'll have that for this audit and all future audits. That's part of the audit. But I understand that management discussion and analysis, that's with the time frames, we're just not going to be able to provide that. And I don't think it's a fatal omission. You'll have it on a future one. You had it on your past audit. It's only management's own internal view of your financial situation. I'd rather spend the time on the budget and make sure we get that timely, which is becoming the time, actually.
Right, I understand, and I know this has dragged on longer than anyone could have.
Right.
Could have predicted.
And it's actually holding up preparation of the budget, because I need to have those year-end costs before I can make accurate predictions of future expenditures.
Mm-hmm. But I do take note that the management discussion and analysis is part of the federal accounting guidelines for audits and so forth. So I'm just expressing my concern with
that. And I'll double check that, but I thought that the MDA, as it's called, it's one of the GASB requirements, Government Accounting Standards Board,
right.
GASB for short.
MDNA, and in accordance with the GASB.
Agreed.
Requirements.
The Water and Sewer Master Plans and the Rate Study. Wallace Group is working on the models now. It's moving along. The person on the models is going to ask us, if he hasn't already, for additional data and information. And so we'll be providing that. Again, almost all roads lead to audit report budget. Well, guess what? The rate study also leads back to the audit report. In order to have a useful rate study, you need to have a good idea of what your past expenditures were, so you know how, you're paying your staff and your lighting bills and utilities and other incidental expenses and extraordinary expenses and what comes up. So the rate study is not yet underway. I don't want to blame it all on the audit report. I kind of said tongue in cheek, all roads lead to audit report. It's also due to the fact that we knew in the beginning that the water and sewer rate studies had to get a certain ways towards completion, and down the road, if you will, before the rate study could begin, because part of what your rates need to do is to fund your capital program. And so that capital program comes out of the Water and Sewer Master Plan. So it's not unexpected that we should not quite be underway yet. I did submit to the board yesterday, and I apologize for, again, another short time fuse item, but it was a memorandum from me to the board. I was drafted by the John Wallace Group regarding the stimulus package funding for the Safe Drinking Water State Revolving Fund. And if you go to page 2 of that agreement, you'll see there's a total staff cost of $133,000. This, again, leads back to the budget, and actually it bespeaks of larger issues than just stimulus package. It speaks of funding your capital program. It speaks of when you do a water and sewer master plan, taking the next step to develop a financial plan and a capital planning, as I call it, if you will, indulge me, the term du jour, which is shovel ready, the term of the day, shovel ready, that these could be shovel ready by the deadlines that will be imposed on applicants. And that means they want, when they finally award the money, they want all the permitting, all the environmental, all the design totally completed within 60 days, and construction be able to start within 60 days of notifying somebody you're receiving this money. Again, a very short time fuse, and we talked earlier tonight about short time fuses on these kinds of money. So those five projects are listed out there. They were submitted in a pre-application. We think that we will be notified by April 10th whether or not we are going to have a project that's going to be eligible for funding. So when you look at the $133,000 cost, that would be the cost to get us, and there's a schedule there, to by June 10th, we would expect to spend that much money. We will not be expending that much money by April 10th. How much money would we expend? I don't know, maybe your $30,000, $40,000. So where's this money going to come from? Well, it's going to have to come from reserves. So if you want to go after the stimulus money, we're going to have to make a commitment to spend something out of reserves. I'm hopeful that on April 10th we do get some sort of definitive answer, especially at least it would be definitive for Oceano. We would know on that date whether we have a chance or not, and we can pull back and drop, or we can proceed. And then, of course, you have a board meeting on April 8th. Maybe we'll know more by then, or maybe we won't know until April 10th. That remains to be seen, of course, and I don't know. I wish the amount wasn't so large. I will say, and Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, that for items 1 and 2, they involve the least amount of environmental work, so we expect those to be ready. And Phil, I think the design is like near complete or very close to complete. So it's not much work to be done on items 1 or 2 if we wanted to pull back or scale back. Between item 1 and 2, but when you look at closer look at item 2, there was elements of that that were already included in item 1, but there was some additional element that needed to be done there on the Rice Street to Wilmar area. Yeah. So I want to advise the board, we can pull the plug right now and our cost to the Wallace Group are somewhat minimal, or we can proceed ahead. Again, given the short time fuse, I kind of took the initiative and said, you know, Wallace Group, go work on this. You know, at first at the pre-app, then when we found out more, we said, well, you got to get going on these things. You got to start your topographic survey, your coastal permit, your plans, and so they're working on that. If you want to pull the plug, it's a good time to do it. If you want to wait and see what happens on the 10th, which is really my recommendation, then I think the most you're going to spend is $30,000. And I will say, these are projects that you have indicated you want to do. They're in your master plan from 2004. They need to be done someday. You don't have the money. You haven't done it to date, although that you've done some design, which is good and proper. You should always have, you know, a little bit of lecture here. You should always have some projects in planning, some in design, some in construction, you know, and kind of keep it moving on an even, organized pace so that when money like the stimulus money comes along, you're well-poised and well-prepared to take advantage of it.
So going ahead and spending the $30,000 at this point will just add to what we have done, even though we didn't get it this time, it would still be for the next time we would have that much more done.
It wouldn't
Gina's
be waste-
checking her head, no.
No,
no.
It wouldn't be wasted money.
Okay.
It's something you're going to do anyway.
Okay.
All things being equal, you wouldn't choose to do it right now.
Yeah.
But the point of having reserves is to be able to replace aging and worn out infrastructure, which is what we're proposing.
That's exactly
to do.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
It's the proper use of the funds. I commend you for stepping forward and making this happen to the point that it has, and I agree with you completely that we should go forward until the drop dead date happens there in June. Or
I do too.
Next month, whenever.
The block long. Okay. That's not where Belridge is, right?
No, the other side.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Is it the street fronting the dining cars?
No, it's the side street
there.
Oh.
It intersects Highway 1 and proceeds west.
So are any of the projects that have been proposed, or any of them on the...
It's like President Main Street, there's Coolidge, Harden.
Oh, that's right.
Truman.
Phil, are any of those projects on the...
Yes, the number 1 and 2 are we're talking about.
So the pipes that were put in 52 along Cienega... And 1 and 2, right?
Yes. One is done. We're going to have a hard time with touch. And the other one, Weissman Street, is
right. Yeah, that's good.
We can't hear anybody in this corner when we're speaking back here. We've got everybody turned all the way up.
You'll have to. They're directional, Mary, I think.
She won't pull it. Pull your mic towards you a little bit so they can hear you, Mary.
Oh, I think you can hear me. It's
not
Phil,
not
right?
Very well.
Can you hear me now? Well, I like to see that we're starting to get to some of the older pipes. So, it's a great idea.
Any public comment on this? We need a motion on this or just direction?
Proceed.
I think I have the consensus of the board that we're proceeding in the right direction, and you'll have a report at your April 8th meeting. And maybe you need a special meeting between the 8th and the 22nd, but that remains to be found out.
Okay, thank you very much.
So, Kevin, you're saying this is going to be either a minimum of $30,000 or a maximum of $130,000? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's a correct characterization.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember, the 30's kind of a guess, you know. Yeah.
I'll get good at it.
Okay. Joint dispatching services?
Gina, help me out. Distributed.
Okay, thank you. 12, closed session. We have no closed session item tonight. Board member items for discussion. Pamela? Jim?
Nothing further.
Vern? Mary?
Nope.
And I have nothing. Consideration of the warrants.
On just a general topical discussion, it seems that we've kind of slipped back into getting the warrants should come in the regular board packets that we get on Fridays, and they've kind of slipped into the next week, and I'm just probably registering some discomfort with this. I'd like to see the warrants. The warrants are important. This is the people's money that's being spent, and I think it's incumbent on us to have the warrants in the board packet in a timely manner such that we can review them and in good conscience approve them. And it's important enough to me that I'm willing to make a no vote on this as a protest to not getting the warrants in a timely manner. So that's my displeasure for the evening.
Anybody else have any comments about the warrants? Then I have two questions. I called you, but I didn't get. I tried to get a hold of you earlier to ask what this was. The Rockhurst University for staff. What is that for?
That was our newest.
I'm sorry.
Our newest accounting clerk attended. It was on accounts payable.
Okay.
Who would that? Our newest accounting clerk?
Esther.
Esther.
It says here, Esther.
Oh, she's an accountant.
So where's Rockhurst University?
It presents classes and seminars across the United States.
Oh, okay.
This one was in San Luis at the Marriott.
Okay. I just wondered, you know. And then the other, on the mileage, I guess we're going to the post office for Cassie.
Every meeting, we just, that's kind of like our biggest line item is overtime in the fire department. And so I know that's a good answer.
I don't know that it's such a good answer. We have three people that are covering 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And the Fair Labor Standards Act requires you to pay overtime after a certain amount of hours are worked. And so with three people, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're going to have an overtime issue. When we go to consolidation, the firefighters will probably be more on a schedule like the city of Arroyo Grande uses, and we could actually maybe go to that sooner. It's one of the things we're negotiating the MOU is to use that same kind of schedule. However, to make the annual yearly amount that's paid to our fire captains equivalent to what they're being paid now, their base salary would have to be increased. It's almost a zero-sum game. You could go to a different schedule, increase their base salary, and the overtime would be reduced.
So let me ask you, are the overtime hours at the same rate as regular hours?
No.
Or are they time and a half?
Time and a half.
Problematic. That's waste.
Did we not...
And whether we have to hire somebody else or something like that? That's what I was afraid of, is that these hours are way more expensive than other hours, and I don't know if that's the best way to go about it.
Well, your base salary compared to the other neighboring districts is way lower, so it kind of comes out even in the end. I said there wasn't probably not a good answer. It comes out even in the sense that we could eliminate overtime by going to a different schedule, and... But then to make sure our fire captains were paid the same annual salary as they are now, you'd have to adjust their base rate.
Well, maybe the fire captains would be willing to accept those overtime hours at the same rate as a regular hour. Instead
of
time and a half.
It's illegal.
I don't know, but yeah. This is very problematic. This is like a leak.
One of the things, I hear what you're saying, And
they taught me that saying at the training.
You would have to hire two more people. Did we not discuss at one point, I think they talked about, what's it, last year it was cheaper to pay the overtime than to increase the
staff. It's less expensive to pay the overtime.
It's at that point.
Director Lucy, this is an item of negotiations for the MOU. It is under discussion. Captain Leathers is here. There's three members that I'm meeting with. He's certainly hearing your comments, and I'm
sure there's a few other firemen out there too that have to watch this.
Watch this show and hear your comments.
And this doesn't have anything to do with their comments.
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying it will give it
personalities.
I'm just saying it gives impetus to the management side and the captain side to work towards maybe a schedule and compensation that eliminates the overtime and goes that way. I'm sure most of the board would like to see, you know, not such big overtime costs.
Every single meeting.
And we've looked
up
at...
This is a low one, $3,400. You know, I've seen them like way, way up there.
Well, if it's not this one, it might be next month because we had
$7,000 sometimes.
We had one of our captains out and we had to cover that with two people and that was all on overtime, so...
And it's not the fire department's fault. I just think it's a flaw in design.
You're also looking at the water department in that $3,400.
We'd have overtime in the water department as well?
Yeah.
Why would we have that?
Standby schedule, where somebody is required to be on call on the weekends. Their base salary.
That's not consistent, Gina. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are small, minimal amounts. This is regularly over and over and over again. And I just think it's a flawed design of how you lay out your staffing patterns. And I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert on how the staffing patterns work for the fire department. But I know that budgets like these, it hurts us.
Perhaps...
You will be receiving an alternative through the MOU process that can show a different way to pay our fire captains that eliminates that kind of overtime accounting.
Public, any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
Nope.
President Mann?
Yes. It passes 3-2. Any public comment? Any written communications received after our packets were prepared?
No, there is not.
Okay. If not, we are adjourned.